Hey everyone, welcome back to Art of the Assistant. And today is a special day because we have made our way back to where it all began. I think three and a half, almost going on 4 years, yeah. Dan, we started Art of the Assistant right here in the coffee shop. And we were down at the Pastor's Fellowship. Dan started praying for assistant pastors and I thought, okay, this is my vision, Dan gets it. And so we've been going forward and through my sickness and illness and crazy schedules, but finally we're back.
Yeah.
And tell everybody as they're listening, Dan, they're gonna hear, maybe we got some new listeners that they're gonna maybe hear some people talking or a bell or some coffee steaming. Where are we right now?
We are at the coffee house here in Weston, West Virginia, and we're right here at the intersection. So you might hear a Jake Brake truck.
I love it.
We're just in the middle of the busyness of the shop, but the coffee shop's a ministry of our church, and it's just open to the community at least 6 days a week, and we have all of our fellowship meetings and things like that down here as a church. But back in 2019, we opened it up to the community, and it's just been a great way to engage with the community. So it's a pretty cool place to do a podcast.
It's awesome. Yeah, well, not just a podcast, but rumor has it you're going to have some special visitors coming too, huh?
Yeah. We've had some really cool things, but one thing is they're using our space for a documentary for one famous thing about our town is the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. So when we planted a church here, they said you had to be crazy to go to Weston, they were right. They're coming in here, and just the Discovery Channel is coming in to use our space just to do what we're doing, talk about their findings on all of that. But
I love it.
I think what we're doing is more important.
Yeah, I will agree. But that's pretty cool. I'll have to admit that's pretty cool. Looking forward to all that coming out. So, Dan, as we jump into our topic today, I want to talk about David. And David was, I think we could say, maybe Saul's assistant. You know, he was his right-hand man. He was there for a while. Some of the timing's different. I don't know if I've got it completely figured out. But he was definitely in the courts of Saul. Mm-hmm. He was definitely serving Saul. And obviously he wasn't shy from the battlefield either as he was there and walked in. But David did things differently than Saul did. And things were different for David than they were Saul, and it put his life, you know, on the line. And so what I'd like to talk about today as we dive into this, it's as we talk about the art of the assistant, the art of dodging spears and rejecting armor. Because I think David finds himself dodging spears because he really goes back to the point where he rejected Saul's armor.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. So I just want to talk about that a little bit, the significance of it, and then diving in today on our guys that are listening as assistants, how often have we done something different?
Right.
And well, that's not the way I would do it. Well, that's not the way they did it. How many times have I heard that over the years?
Right.
And but just because we did it differently doesn't mean God wasn't in it.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to dive into that subject today and dodge some spears.
All right.
And reject some armor. All right, guys. So again, thank you for tuning in. And as we get started, you know, I want you to go back in your childhood with me when you were a kid. And think about the power that you felt like you had with you had that sword in your hand. I don't know, were you a He-Man guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the power of Grayskull. I mean, I had the sword up.
Right.
A lot of times it's just my baseball bat or whatever.
Yeah. Or two sticks like duct tape together.
That's it. We had to make it happen as kids. We weren't lucky enough to go to Dollar General to pick up a sword. But, you had that power and you felt like you had that power there. And today it's almost like the sword isn't being offered. But I'm afraid with many assistants, pastors might be looking at them feeling like they're trying to steal that sword. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like an inferiority complex, maybe. Maybe it's intimidation. I don't know. But it can really put guys in a bind in their ministries.
Yeah, and it's probably twofold there. A person coming into ministry usually is very passionate, energetic, guy who's been there and fought some battles with yeah. that sword
yeah, right.
Is usually tired and might not have. I was speaking with a pastor just a few weeks ago, and he made this statement. He said, "I just don't know that I have the energy to build a building.
Yeah,
I just don't know that I have it in me." And so some guys are like, "Man, I'm just tired, and I appreciate that energy, but maybe I'm just I can't match it."
And that's really good. Yeah, no, that's really good. And I think too, when you're that way, of course, I'm not old, I don't think, but at 45, I've told my staff at times, look, I'm not changing that. One day you guys can,
right.
but I'm not fighting those battles.
Right.
So even with me, I can be that way at times.
Sure.
But I also think even at me, as I see some of these younger guys coming in, I see their energy and their zeal, and they're going, working with kids and doing this and doing that, thinking, man, everybody seems to like them a whole lot more than they like me. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's that.
Or if the youth pastor's connecting with the families of the youth,
there
what
you
hired them to do, by the way. But if they're connecting and really connecting. So I think for all of us, we never want someone to be liked more than we are.
Right.
We want you to be liked, but just not as much as we are. we want to be the top dog. And I really do think that that is a, I don't care if it's preaching or just relationships.
Yeah.
I may not want to go and play games till 2 o'clock in the morning anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to have fun like that either. You know? So there's this weird dynamic
it is
that
weird.
Happens.
It is. Absolutely.
And then you have the sense of someone is bringing in new ideas and new strategies and even new ways to reach the next generation. And then we start rather than embracing and giving needed guidance and wisdom. Sometimes as a senior pastor, we just retreat. Everything's evil that's new. And that's not every case, but I think every pastor at least struggles with that. They have to have that battle. And I don't think that, Fred, that you need to start, wearing, skinny jeans and to keep up with the culture.
Contrary to popular demand.
I don't know that anyone has ever made it. But, there are things that you can do to stay relevant, but not necessarily act like you're 20 anymore.
Right.
But this isn't a senior podcast.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I think too, for instance, let's say that, I have an assistant, man, his Sunday school is people are coming in. They love his Sunday school class. It's growing.
Yeah.
And so let's say I'm teaching one. I've got like 12 people and he's got 20. And well, why aren't they coming to my class?
Right.
Why are they? That can.
Yeah, sure.
That can start. And if we're not careful, Satan can get into any of these situations. And that evil root of bitterness starts to grow.
Yeah.
And then as it grows, it just takes one or two more things and we're throwing spears.
Yeah.
Or as assistants, they're dodging spears.
Right.
And so we've got to guard that, yes, as senior pastors. But let's say that as a senior pastor, we're getting to that point, now we have an assistant. How does he handle these things? And where does this come from?
Yeah, sure.
So you've got, let's say it's Davey. Davey's got a great Sunday school class. People love him. They're flocking to him. Things are going great there. Youth group is growing.
Yeah.
Man, his preaching's on fire. And you're just hearing it all the time. Man, Davey did a great job in church last night. Man, I really enjoyed Davey's. I don't want to know.
Right.
Don't tell
right.
me.
Yeah.
And then without and thinking he's doing a great job and he's in overall helping the ministry, he's sensing something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, something's between pastor and I.
Yeah.
There's a wedge there. What is happening? What is going on? And looking back, talking about now David and Saul, I think the first thing that David did, the first step that he took, Dan, was he was rejecting the best armor money could buy. Okay, this was Saul taking his baby. And I mean, what signified Saul? Everybody knew a king by their armor.
Right.
Look, this represents me. This represents my kingdom. This represents who I am. Take this and go, young man. He's like, nah.
Right.
Nah, I got a slingshot. I'm good, King. I've not proved this. I don't want this. And so right away, without even, I think, knowing what he was doing, David put a wedge between he and Saul.
Yeah.
Because he's rejecting what Saul wanted him to take.
Yeah.
And practically, you know, looking at that, I think there's a variety of ways we could talk about it. Whether a pastor says, hey, look, 30 years ago when I was a youth pastor, we did this fundraiser.
Right.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
I swallowed a goldfish.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Or, you know, and then the youth pastor's like, nah, we're going to go a different way about it.
Right.
I think we got to be careful on both. But, you know, how does a youth guy go into a situation like that? And when the pastor is making recommendations of things that he thinks he should do, the youth pastor thinks that's never going to work. Mm-hmm. How does a youth pastor handle it without completely rejecting the armor?
Well, I think one really good point is to always affirm. If you're in that assistant pastor spot, always affirm your pastor and in what he's doing, what he's done, what he's accomplished, the wisdom that he has. If you're coming off like, well, yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
So your attitude really, really makes a difference.
Yeah.
It could mean the difference between someone going, oh yeah, that makes sense, or feeling threatened by you.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just good communication.
Yeah.
So that is one thing. I think that the other is not automatically, maybe there's something about that idea and the principle of that idea that's good, that you can take and modernize it to reach, you know, this next generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a contest is still a contest. So it may not be the contest that they did in the 70s.
Right.
But
right.
A contest is still a contest, right?
Right.
So bring that into today's world and say, you know what? What my kids are talking about is this. What if we took your idea and kind of, you know, tailored it to fit, you know, the youth group and what's going on right now, you know, in their lives. And that way, walking away, it's both of your ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're kind of, you're affirming, and you're taking what you can out of that.
Yeah. No, I like that. And I think what you're saying without knowing what you're saying is going back to one of the first episodes we did, communication.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're communicating with the pastor. So the pastor the pastor might just in passing say, hey, look, we did this 25 years ago. It was a great idea. I made $2,000. You guys need to do this too.
Right.
So you get that, and you're like, oh, great. Now I got to do this outing. But by proper communication, like you're saying, you still might be able to run with that idea, but with a little different slant.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Well, include as well. So affirm and include.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So if it's their idea or if they're a part of that process, then they're more likely not to get that idea of they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting everything that I've done and all that. You know, they didn't build this building.
Yeah.
They didn't, you can quickly go down that road.
Yeah.
And it's insecurity.
It is.
But
it is.
As much as we're like, oh yeah, my pastor's like that, we are too. You know, we're
absolutely
insecure. And when we cross that bridge someday as being the older guy in the group, we're going to have to face those battles too. So grace and including them in the process and affirmation.
That's awesome. No, that's really good. That's really good. So it's not necessarily a rejecting of the armor, but it's a reversal of, okay, let's take this, let's reverse the idea about it and go about it that way. And then the other thing I think that was just totally crazy with David is, this is not conventional warfare. No, we want swords and chariots and we're fighting Goliath and we've got armor. He's got five smooth stones.
Right.
What's this guy doing?
Right.
You know, what's this? He's got an iPad up there on the pulpit. Mm-hmm. Where's his notes?
Right.
Where's his Bible? I can't believe he's up there preaching without a Bible. Right, he needs a Bible up there.
Yeah.
I've got 50 of them right here. but it's different.
Yeah.
And we're kind of getting over that now than where, you know, even when I was a young guy coming in, where it was. but that stuff's still there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the way they use PowerPoints or they use slides, and there's more of that. And so some of it can come off as unconventional.
Yeah, sure.
And this just isn't the way we did it. I look at Joshua, when he crossed Jordan, it was completely a different way than Moses did. Mm-hmm. But God still used it.
Sure.
And was it conventional to put the priest? It would have been easier to hold the rod out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't God's way.
Right, right.
So just because it's different doesn't mean God's not in it.
Yeah.
And I think we got to be careful with that and how we do things in looking at that. But again, I think it's this communication. So let's say pastor doesn't use PowerPoint slides, but we have the projector and we have the screen. So instead of just pastor sitting down Sunday night and the screen comes out of the ceiling and you're throwing up a PowerPoint, communicate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hey, pastor, hey, Saul, I've got 5 stones in my pocket. You know, and David does it. I've killed a lion. I killed a bear. I've got this guy.
Right.
And I love using this. I use this with the teens. It seems to be a really good tool. And I just, this is what I'm going to try to use tonight and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Let me know what you think. You know, anything like those lines. But I think the awareness for our assistants is to understand that you might not get it, but your pastor, these are the things that he's thinking.
Right, right.
These things could be going through his mind, and you need to cut that off at the pass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make sure those things don't happen.
Yeah, or how about, hey, pastor, is this something you'd like to do? You give me your points, and I'll throw them up on PowerPoint.
There you go. I'd be glad to do that for you. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that just getting the insecurities out of the way and going, I'm not here to take anything. I'm not here to divide anything. You have brought me in here to for the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the things that makes this relevant and even a topic that's relevant today is because the age, you know, the average age of the evangelical pastor today is 55. Mm. So if you're bringing a young guy in, you know, he's less than half your age.
Yeah.
So now I'm 55 going on 60. I'm looking at grandchildren. I'm in a total different phase of life too. And my thinking is a whole lot different than this young guy's thinking.
Yeah.
And with that huge difference that's there, it's just a different mentality. Mm. It's a different mindset. It's a different way of life. And I think one of the things that could really help that too is spending time together. You know, and as assistant pastors, trying to make time for your pastor so he knows you. He knows where you're coming from. He knows what you're doing. He sees you have wisdom there and is behind you with that.
Yeah.
And not letting that age gap, not using that age gap as a difference.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
It does. What you're going to find, and what we've probably already found, is there's some vulnerability there that, a senior pastor, most likely, unless he was just in a non-normal situation, but he probably grew up and was trained under a top-down, authoritarian type leadership. It's hard to break away from that.
Yeah.
It is. And so one thing about that style of leadership is they don't make themselves vulnerable.
Right.
So they have to have this persona, this, you know, stage presence about them all the time. And so what you end up seeing is just tidbits, and then they kind of isolate because they don't want to show. And I have kind of struggled with that myself. I don't want everybody to see when I'm having a bad day. So I won't come in. I'll lock myself in the office. You know, that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
So when we think about church life together and just doing life together, the staff is even more than, you know, even more close than that.
Right.
I think you have to be sensitive to that and understand that being aware of the why is so, so important. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with things like this, and even when a slur or a spear, you know, is thrown, you can build that wall, you can run,
that's good,
or you can understand, hey,
yeah,
you know, that probably came out of someone who's been told that themselves,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that probably comes out of a heart of hurt themselves,
yeah.
So you can actually be the bigger person
yeah.
in the situation and help them through some past yeah. trauma
yeah.
that they're not willing to talk
about. I love
about.
That. That's really good. That's really good. So let's do this. Let's stop this one here, Dan. And then let's talk about how we do handle it when spears are thrown.
Okay.
I'll open up a little story about some spears in my own life, and then we'll just go in how, one, why did David keep coming back? I mean, man, a sword thrown at me, I'm out. Sayonara. And he handled himself wisely, the Bible said, so wisely, everybody loved him. So there were some things David did that were right in the midst of that. And if you guys are sitting there listening and you're like, man, I can't do anything right. Everything I do, the pastor's coming against me. I can't even smile the right way. Then hold on, because we're going to help you out when we get there in our next episode of Art of the Assistant.